Yes, the Browns were looking to light the fuse offensively today behind Jason Campbell. They did that. They caught a spark, but not enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 23-17, the final here at Arrowhead. Great to have you with us, everybody. Michael Regei, Vic Carucci. And Vic, this one's going to sting for a while because the Browns, after falling behind by double digits twice in this football game, did indeed catch that spark, and they were in position to win this if the fourth quarter would have played out a little more effectively.
Yeah, a loss is a loss, but you go on the road, you go to this place, this very loud Arrowhead Stadium, you take on an undefeated team, and you really push them to the brink in the second half. There's something to take away from that. A lot of it is because the offense was more competent with Jason Campbell at quarterback. Didn't have an explosiveness, but there were plays. There weren't the big mistakes that we saw earlier. And I think overall the defense started to respond in the second half. And the sacking team was not the Kansas City Chiefs that lead the NFL in sacks. The sacking team was the Browns defense with five.
Yeah, which we're going to get to a little bit later on in the show. So here's the thing, though. The problem that the Browns got to find a way to fix, slow starts. They fell behind 13-0. Three consecutive three and outs offensively. As we said, you know, we'll get to the meaty, juicy stuff when that offense started to move. And then with it, while the Browns are three and outing, Vic, three consecutive point-producing drives for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, it's tough to fall behind a team like this by double digits.
And this is the killer. Minus one rushing yards in the first half. That's not going to get you anywhere. And such an overwhelming disparity in time of possession in the first half. It was a hole from which the Browns really dug that was going to be near impossible to dig out from. They almost did, and it's a credit to the way they played in the second half, but I think that's the issue. When you're a team like that, you can't have that bad of a slow start.
And there's no question Jason Campbell's mobility, getting out of the pocket, buying some time, keeping plays alive certainly helped. We'll get into that as well as we go on through the course of the show. Let's hear from head coach Rob Chudzinski and the quarterback Jason Campbell. How much does this loss to the still undefeated Kansas City Chiefs sting here in Arrowhead?
You know, I think that our guys are learning that we need and have to be consistent. We have to be able to play the same way at all times. And when we do, we can play and go toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. Yeah, you know, I mean, Devon is everything you could ask for in a pro, and how he approaches and a guy in the locker room and what he does. I know those are plays that he's wishes he could have back, and there's nobody that feels worse than Devon on those plays. We just have to be better next game.
Playing in this game for me today was getting myself going. And trying to focus on all the details of what we've been trying to do all week leading up to the game. And I don't think it was necessarily just trying to show, but just want to wheel these guys and just win. I can give all the credit, honestly, to my offensive line. I thought those guys played outstanding today. If you've been watching, keeping up with the Chiefs all year, they thrive off turnovers and getting to the quarterback and sacking the quarterback. And I thought the way our guys came out, fought the day, fought their butts off, I thought they gave me a great time to throw the ball.
Look, Vic, we know Jason Campbell's been through this NFL rodeo before. We thought he acquitted himself very, very well. Slow start, yes. But that drive that finally produced points, he hits a big throw to Jordan Cameron. The gadget that Campbell finds Josh Gordon for the 39-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden now, the Browns change momentum just like that.
It did. Give Jason Campbell major props. Look, this guy had no time working with game speed football from the time he arrived in Cleveland in the offseason. So to get up to speed in a short amount of time, even with the 9 years and the 71 starts he came into this game with, it's still a big deal. It's a big challenge. He overcame that. I give him credit for that. Showed his savvy, showed his smarts, showed his mobility. I thought got rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
And the bottom line, we were reminded that the quarterback makes the receivers, not the other way around, and that was the biggest difference for this football team, having Campbell in there instead of Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah, it did. And once again, I have to be very frank about it, it came really for Jason Campbell without the benefit of a run game. It's something that at some point, Vic, we're halfway through now, you got to get some involvement there to help this offense out.
You do. I wasn't expecting this Browns team to be a great running team, even with Trent Richardson,
right.
But it can't be as bad as it was, especially in the first half today. And the other thing you can't afford to have is the drop passes. Devon Best, It was a killer today.
Yeah.
Those drops and then the fumble, obviously, on the punt return at the end. So you got to eliminate those mistakes.
They do. And if they get to that point, I think we believe this is a football team that could put some W's together if they perform like they did. We'll continue to get into the offensive story today. That's when we get back on Browns Overtime. A lot of show to go. We'll flip it over to the defensive side, too, as the show wears on. All right, Browns get beat 23-17. Don't go away. A lot more coming up out of Arrowhead on Browns Overtime. We'll be right back.
Juggled and caught! Touchdown! It's Josh Gordon!
Here's Hoyer out of the shotgun. Plenty of time. Going long. Gordon's wide open. Caught it. 10-5. Touchdown. 47-yard touchdown pass. Brian Hoyer to Josh Gordon.
Great to have all of you back with us on Browns Overtime following tough 23-17 loss to the KC Chiefs. Michael Regai, Vic Carucci, with a young man that provided quite a spark today on the offensive side, wide receiver Josh Gordon. Josh, a slow start today offensively, but then you caught that spark, you caught that rhythm. How did that one drive with a throw to Jordan Cameron and then the touchdown throw to you start to get everything feeling good offensively?
You know, it's definitely one of those sparks Coach Judd's been talking about. And, you know, we were looking forward coming into this game, knowing it's a great defense, I think number one defense in the league. And we had to figure out a way how to exploit them and how to really get it to them, you know. And that's what me and Jordan did. Late in the first half, and then coming out in the second half, we started pretty good. You know, if we could just maintain a little bit longer, it would have been great.
Josh, it seemed like you and the other receivers, but you especially, established some pretty quick chemistry with Jason Campbell, a guy you haven't worked with a lot at all in practice and so forth. Explain how that came together.
You know, due to the fact we didn't really have too much time, but a week of practice left, a few days, it really took a few plays. You see a few drives, we had three and out, and then after that, you know, you get slapped in the face like that, you know, you get riled up and you really don't want it to happen anymore, or else you're going to get embarrassed and get blown off the field, you know. So, you know, the guys really just hunkered down and really mentally put it together, and we pulled out some plays.
Josh Gordon expressing himself today, 5 catches, the big 39-yard touchdown throw, 132 yards. All right, take us through the TD, because Norv Turner pulled out a gadget play again. Looks like it's a run play. The toss back to Jason Campbell, and you got to beat your man on that corner route.
Yeah, it was just an old-fashioned flea flicker. That's all it was, you know. Me and Greg delayed off the line, the scrimmage, waiting for the cornerbacks to come in, you know. And as soon as he flipped the ball back, we burst out of there. Safety went with Greg's side and doubled him, and I was open on the left, and he flattened me out, and I went to go get it. I mean, it was a pretty simple play, but it just worked to perfection for us out here. So,
do you feel as a team, I mean, you took the only unbeaten team in the league to the brink and pushed it hard in the second half, and this game was at some point a winnable game for you guys. So what's the attitude as you could sense it in the locker room now?
I mean, it's definitely a confidence booster for the team. You know, guys might have been down coming off another loss the week before. But it just shows mentally, if you're there in it, you believe in yourself. You know, you can go out there and beat anybody, and it really doesn't matter who it is as long as you just have the right attitude about it. That's what it showed to us.
Josh, this past week brought a lot of questions to you, a tumultuous week with regard to your status on this football team and the October 29th trade deadline. Did that help to serve to motivate you a little bit more this week to come out and play the type of football, the Cleveland Browns type of football that you want to be able to stay here and lock down with this football team?
Right. I mean, it's it's something I've been dealing with for almost a month now, you know, coming in from my very first game back in Minnesota. So I've been dealing with it. You know, mentally it's been a struggle for me, you know. So at this point now, I got to just go out there and play my game. What happens, happens. It's above me, and I really can't control it. And I really just want to come out here and get a win ultimately. I mean, if it's Cleveland, great. I'd love to be in Cleveland. You know, I love the fans of Cleveland, everything about it. You know, but it's a business, and like I said, it's beyond me, so...
And as you look ahead now, you got the Baltimore Ravens coming up at home, last game before the bye. Very important that you want to take a good feeling of success into that bye.
Definitely, you know, coming into the division, guys realize how big of an opportunity it is. We definitely want to get the win, you know, so we can have a foot up on the division. And we're definitely going to come in there and try to do our best to get the win, you know, despite the loss and everything. But guys, mentally, their head is in the right spot, and I think we can get it done.
Josh, excellent performance today, albeit didn't get the desired result, but great job, and we'll be looking for you against Baltimore next week.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. That's Josh Gordon, Browns wide receiver. Don't go away, a lot more Browns overtime still to come. We'll flip it over and take a look at the defensive performance. That got very stout in the second half. That's next when Vic and I return on Browns overtime. Don't go away.
Tool back to pass, throws to the middle, picked off, and there he goes! Down the sideline, T.J. Ward, 10-5, touchdown!
Great to have you with us on Browns Overtime, everybody. Yeah, difficult one today. Browns right there, but get beat by the Kansas City Chiefs, 23-17. Michael Regai, Vic Carucci with Browns, strong safety, T.J. Ward. Listen, once again this week, once you got a handle on Alex Smith, you guys played superb football on your side of things in the second half. What was it about finally trying to take away some of the things that Smith was finding with his backs and receivers in the first half?
We just made some adjustments at halftime. Got out of some zone coverages and got to man, put some pressure on him, and made him make quicker decisions and you know, put some force on him, put some pressure on him, and like, have him get the ball out. And I think that's what we did. And guys stepped up, started doing their jobs. I think in the first half we were trying to do too much at times, and that's where the situation came where he was scrambling and running or dump offs for first downs. And guys just settled down a little bit and, you know, play how we usually play.
Yeah, explain that, TJ. How does it go from you talked about adjustments, but they were really owning this game with a lot of those just short throws, yeah, where guys had a lot of green space and they were making big plays. So defensively, how did you respond to that?
Well, they caught us in zone coverages a couple times on the screens where guys were, you know, deep in their zones and they run the screen and they got blockers in front. So, you know, it's hard to make a play when you have three blockers and only two guys, you know, there to even force the ball. And other times we were in man and, you know, he'd find a seam and, you know, or a gap and he'd scramble out. And for a couple long runs he did that. But I think the second half we got to him. You know, the D-line played great, got their hands on him and brought him down when we had the opportunity to.
Front seven, TJ, with the four sacks today, a lot of hits on Alex Smith, a lot of pressure. How much does all of that feed in when you can get that kind of heat on? And you're going, as you said, in man coverage in the back. Does that feed into a successful defensive unit together?
Oh, definitely. When you make second down, when it's second and long or whatever it is, they losing yards on downers, and it makes the next down a lot easier. When you know they only have a certain amount of plays that they can run with that down and distance. And we got off the field a lot better on third down in the second half. You know, I attribute that to the pressure we were putting on them. And even at times where we, you know, we had some malfunctions, you know, we still got that pressure on them and forced them to either throw the ball away, throw a bad pass, or we got the sack. So I think that's what happened for us in the second half.
Appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks.
Great to see you. That's T.J. Ward, the Browns' hard-hitting, strong safety. As we know, like T.J. and all of his teammates, there's a lot of Browns heroes in the huddle all over Cleveland, paying forward, doing tremendous things for all of you in the community. Let's take a look at how the Browns made that happen this week.
On Tuesday, the Browns teamed up with United Way and the Cleveland Clinic for the 15th annual hometown huddle at the Buckeye Woodland Elementary School. The Hometown Huddle is a nationwide day of service when NFL teams partner with local United Ways to impact youth health and education.
We love this relationship that we have. 15 playgrounds. It's going to be wonderful. And in Buckeye Woodland neighborhood, this is the first playground they have in this neighborhood. First playground for this elementary school. And it's a great partnership that we're able to celebrate today.
We really do care about the city. We try and help in a number of ways. Health and wellness education, of course. But it's great to get out here in the employee engagement part of things and really get involved and literally get our hands dirty.
On this day of service, Browns players look forward to giving these students something special.
You never want to lose sight of giving back and always helping a hand when you can. And it's truly an honor that I can be here today and help these kids and to give them a playground.
This is an awesome thing they have going on. I mean, be able to help out the school and give these kids a place to run around is pretty awesome.
Cleveland 35. Mingo coming and he got a sack.
Well, there's
he got
a good
Flacco
start.
Right off the right corner and got him back at the 45-yard line. Welcome, Mr. Mingo.
So great to have all of you with us right here on Browns Overtime. Tough 23-17 loss for the Browns today here in Arrowhead. Michael Regei, Vic Carucci. Vic, as we look at an architect of a football team, the Browns CEO, Joe Banner, certainly is synonymous with that. His years in Philadelphia with Andy Reid were certainly replete with a lot of winning, were they not?
They were, and they were, of course, reunited today. They're very good friends. Worked together in Philly for 14 years, helped that team get to 5 NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. So we had an opportunity to put them kind of both together and have them walk down memory lane.
Although they eventually went their separate ways, Joe Banner and Andy Reid will forever be linked for their time together in the National Football League. During 14 seasons in Philadelphia, with Banner serving as the Eagles' president and Reid as their head coach, they guided the team to 5 NFC championships and a Super Bowl.
Well, we had 14 years together, and some moments as special as anybody in the NFL. I got to know him deeply and his family. Just wonderful people, wonderful relationship. And excited about the things we achieved together, and he's a special guy.
We're together 5 times a day, every day, so I'm a big Joe Banner fan, and we had a ton of success together. And we experienced the highs, the lows, and we did it together.
The Eagles, for the first time in 24 years, are heading to the Super Bowl.
In hiring Reid in Philadelphia, Banner knew he had the right man for the job.
He was incredibly driven, a really competitive guy, and at the same time was able to control that in a way that the players really respected. So it was an even keel about his intensity that I think the players really gravitated to and gave them a lot of confidence in him and positioned him as a really effective leader.
Hey, I just want to know who the NFC's champs are.
On the way to all of those conference championship games and the Super Bowl, Reid came to respect Banner's ability to put together a winner.
He was one of the leads that was instrumental in me being a part of Philadelphia Eagles, and then really gave me every opportunity, along with Jeff Lurie, to be able to win football games. And he's a brilliant guy. He knows football. He knows talent. He knows what it takes to win.
Those two sure know a lot about winning football. There's no question about that. And Joe Banner is certainly poised to bring that back here to the Browns.
Yeah, and you heard Andy Reid talk about that. I mean, trust in Joe is basically the message he had, and it worked very well in Philadelphia. He sees it working the same way eventually in Cleveland.
That kind of trust certainly is what Rob Chudzinski is talking about with the Browns on the football side. Next week, second match with the Baltimore Ravens this year. Browns trailed 6-0 at halftime back in week two of the football season. And, Vic, here's an opportunity again. Win at home and win in the division. You could get that daily double by beating Baltimore.
Yeah, and they're a beatable team. I mean, I think we know that from even the first experience at Baltimore. The big difference, Jason Campbell's going to be the quarterback this time around. And we'll see, now that he's got a game under his belt with this offense, how much of a groove he can get into. The Ravens' defense will still be very strong, still get some pressure. But I think as I look at this Browns team playing with a little more confidence, if they can take the confidence that they had in the second half of this game into this one, that'll be key.
And think about it. They'll need it now. The Browns sit at 3-5, so a chance to get a game closer to the break-even mark. And Vic, it's going into the bye week, so it's one that has a tremendous amount of importance attached to it.
It does. You want to take some kind of level of success into the bye. You want to start feeling better about yourselves, and I think that would be the case if you can win a divisional game against a team like Baltimore at home. That would be huge.
And we'll see how Rob Chudzinski and the staff tweak things a little bit this week again. Slow starts. I got to believe that's one big thing on the Browns' agenda. Got to get that cleaned up.
And they're still very aggressive. We saw that again today, Michael, out here. This team definitely going for the trickery, going for the aggressiveness, go for it on fourth down. I mean, that's the mentality, and they're going to go full speed with that.
And we'll see all of you next week right here on Browns Overtime as the Browns take on the Baltimore Ravens, second match of the year. Now for our producer, Andy Heck, for our videographer, Drew Boatner, all of the crew, for Vic Carucci, I'm Michael Rega. Thanks for being a part of Browns Overtime, everybody. We'll see you next week back home at First Energy. So long.